The gospel for this Sunday in Lent comes to us from the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. We're a chapter earlier than we were last week. We're now in the 8th chapter as opposed to the 9th chapter. And what happens before this little teaching of Jesus is he asks his disciples an important question. Who do people say that I am? And then, who do you say that I am? And after Peter's confession that he is the Messiah, Jesus orders them not to tell anyone. That's a very Mark thing to do. And then he teaches them this. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise. Please be seated. Now, I don't know if you've seen recently, Apple has gone to full VR computing with their new iVision thing. One of the lead developers for that is actually a child of this congregation, Connor Smith. It's kind of like some of the things you thought was science fiction. Well, Apple has now come out with a new app for many of us that would be very helpful. It's an anger management app. It's called the Irate. Now, we have this cat that just absolutely adores ice cubes. Don't ask me, never had a cat before that does that. She will take an ice cube and chase it all over the place and bat it all over the place. And one of the most common places for an ice cube to end up, of course, is under the refrigerator. Now, Jenny gets a little annoyed because of the amount of ice cubes that get there, and she tells me I need to go and get it out. And I'm like, "Dear, why? It's water under the fridge." Now, I know some of you may be thinking this, but the other day I got hit in the head with a can of soda. Thankfully, it was a soft drink. Then this other time when I was back in Wisconsin, someone threw milk at me, and I went, "How dare he?" I know, how cheesy can it get? No Gouda, huh? I'm just a bit of a Munster. Yeah, I know. Debris was everywhere. Yes, you have a cross to bear, and it's me. Isn't that, kind of interesting? Here's Lent, and one of the most classic, common ways in which we, do something is the Lenten discipline, which normally means we give something up, we let something go. And I hope some of you are participating in the Lenten challenge. And some of it involves with, decluttering and all of that kind of stuff, which is very helpful. It's amazing with some of the stuff we're finding in the house to go, "Nope, we don't need that anymore." We let stuff go. But here we are, just getting started in Lent, and Jesus goes, "Okay, now I don't want you to let something go. I want you to take up something. Here's a cross. Here's a cross. I want you to take it up." And I don't know what kind of cross does he mean. I've got a few. Does he mean like this one? Or I got this little one. Yeah, it kind of goes there. Maybe it needs to be slightly bigger. Or there's this one, I guess. Is this a good enough cross yet that I need to take up? Or if I really want to go over the top, I can bring out my bling cross. Yo, 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 it's MC Pastor in the house. No? Okay, maybe he's talking about, well, it's more, you know, here's a cross, or there's a cross, or maybe we need more like a crucifix, or maybe we need to go bigger. And if we need a supersized Costco version, there's that one right behind me. Is Jesus talking about jewelry or home decorating? No. Now, so it's not about adding to your collection of what I obviously have a few. People seem to be very cross with me. I wonder why. I have no idea. Okay, this is a little ridiculous. It's more than a little ridiculous. So he's not talking about jewelry or decorating or any of that kind of stuff. What's he talking about? Take up a cross. Well, sometimes people go, well, I've got one, Pastor. Don't worry about it. See, there's this one situation in my family, and I'm having difficulty with so-and-so. But, you know, it's just my cross to bear. You ever heard that? Ever said that? How about this one? You know, yeah, it sucks when the weather gets cold and it gets, you know, tough because my arthritis really flares up and I get very stiff and it's very slow in the morning, but it's my cross that I have to bear. You notice how that phrase kind of gets dismissive? You know, it's kind of fun though. I mean, almost 12 years ago, coming up on it, is I lost my left lung due to a very rare and odd form of cancer. And it's really neat because obviously whenever you remove something like that, there's a lot of work that has to be done. And a lot of things get tied off, like major blood vessels and such. So what did the doctor do when he got to some of these ends of these blood vessels? He cauterized the ends of them and he hit them with a staple in an X. So every time I go and get an X-ray, if the tech does not read the fact that I have no left lung, they are confused by this constellation of crosses on the left side of my chest. I literally have crosses to bear for it. That's not it either. Because notice that either one of those things, be it the, you know, the difficult relationships with family members, you know, children, parents, spouses, or their families, or ailments and chronic conditions and things like that, notice that every one of those answers, when you go, but it's my cross, it's just the cross I have to bear, turns it into this very personal thing that's really about you. It's your chronic condition or the way you're reacting to relationships around you. It's about you. So let me return to the text. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and then take up their cross and follow me. We can't be center set in this situation. This isn't about us. This is about Jesus. But what does that mean? If we're still called to take up a cross and follow, what does that mean? Well, deny yourself is important. That's an important step in it. Because Let's face it, even Jesus, when he got to the end, right before he was arrested, he prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but your will be done. Let this cup pass for me. I don't want it. But not my will. Your will be done." But in a highly individualistic, very self-centered society in which we really are, where we tend to confuse my personal opinion with my truth and things like that, and my comfort with your existence, notice how that sometimes is the problem with those examples I gave earlier. I'm not comfortable because of that's your existence or that thing's existence. If you would just go away, or the situation would just go away, I wouldn't have to deal with it. That's not what Jesus did. Because it says, take up a cross and follow. Why did he take up a cross? Why did he take up a cross? If taking up a cross is about sinfulness and our sinful behavior, of the last people on the planet to take up a cross, it should be him. If he's looking, if the cross is about a ticket to heaven, the last person who needs a cross is him. So why did he do it? We remember on the night in which he was betrayed, our Savior took bread, blessed it, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is given for..." After supper, he took the cup. We'll see if you catch on by the second time. After giving thanks, blessed it, sent it around and saying, "Take and drink. This cup contains the blood of the new covenant shed and for all people for the forgiveness of sins." So why did he do it? For himself? No. For you. For the world. For God so loved the world, as that one verse goes, that he gave his only son. Taking up a cross is not a personal thing. It isn't about self-fulfillment. It isn't about personal development. It isn't about any of those kinds of things. It is about for someone else. The cross is for someone else. Sometimes people you don't even know. Sometimes people you don't even like. It's for others. But notice that challenge, that charge that Jesus gave us in our baptism. "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You notice that that entire challenge and command does not do anything for you. It's for other people. Light doesn't need light. Light illuminates something else. And this is for so that others may see your good works. "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." He takes up the cross for you. We take up a cross, it's not for me. It's for others. So maybe those things that we have to deny are those things that get in the way of us loving our neighbor as ourselves. It might mean that we have to drop the thought of someone else being an enemy, even though he commands us to love our enemies. Sometimes that's a little too hard for some of us, including me, especially the person who got out in front of me doing 25 miles an hour in a 40. It was my cross to bear. No! That's not it. Maybe my cross to bear is to not get so upset about that and bless the person on their way instead of go, "What are you thinking?" The universal hand sign. No. No. That's the kind of stuff I have to deny. Let that go. So I can take up the cross of caring and support and loving, of kindness and compassion. All that grace stuff means fundamentally that there's a part of us that we have to let go of to be able to encourage, to have compassion, to advocate for someone else, to reach out. And generosity. All of those things means letting something go for someone else. Now, Pastor, what if I don't do it enough? What if I don't pick up the right cross? Or I don't deny myself enough? Would Jesus still be cross with me? Still grace, people. Why? Because, again, he took up his cross for you, for the world, so the world might see, might know new life. Because this instrument of death and torture instead became something far better. We might know love. Because of what it would take to put someone there and to keep them there if they didn't have to be there. But also just simply, fundamentally, hope. Hope that there is a new life and there is love. That there is peace and there is all of these possible things that might come out of it. Because what do you think kept him there? Oh yeah, that's right. You. For you. So brothers and sisters, take up your cross and follow the one who did it. For you. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.